Here at All Things Mysterious, we usually focus on the unknown or unexplained, usually an unsolved case or a mystery that can't be explained. But sometimes the true mystery is in the reasoning of what happened. We may know what went down, but can we truly understand why? This is the story of Jim Jones and the People's Temple Massacre. Welcome to another intriguing episode of All Things Mysterious, the podcast where all the realms of true crime, supernatural, and the unexplained converge. I'm your host, Jordan.
I'm Matt.
We're ready to plunge into today's fascinating mysteries. Let's dive right in. James Warren Jones, a.k.a. Jim Jones, was born on May 13, 1931. His father was ill and drunk for a lot of his childhood, leaving his mother to work and cover the bills, and not leaving a lot of time for Jim. They weren't super religious, but Jim was, and his mother often told him he had a special destiny. At the same time, she was rarely around, leaving Jim to fend for himself through the day or with a random babysitter. Even from a young age, he believed he had something to preach and would gather neighborhood animals and kids to preach to them in their backyard barn. This part is a little tough to hear, so listener discretion is advised. But it's said that he would perform blood transfusions and sometimes small surgeries on the animals in his barn, more or less pretending to be nurturing to them in front of his congregation. And when a small dog died on his operating table, Jim actually thought he should commit suicide. It was the first time he had ever felt guilt.
I want to start off by saying that I hate cults. I hate them. They are the worst thing ever. Mostly because obviously they manipulate and they control. And plus we see a lot of that today. And I don't like them. But this dude is crazy in more ways than one.
Yeah, and it's weird how you can see that even from when he was really little.
Yeah, and I don't like calling someone crazy because I think it's unproductive for the most part. But this dude definitely was not right in many ways. I think he definitely had some kind of mental illness that was untreated, which I could go on a tangent, which I've done many times in the past about a lot of these cases stem from our lack of empathy and our lack of understanding of mental health. But even today, I think we're more understanding of mental health than we were back in the day.
Oh, yeah. We've made a lot of strides towards understanding and seeing mental health for what it is.
But I don't think that we're definitely not in a place we should be. We should be way further advanced than we are. But as obviously we're way more understanding of it, we know a lot more. But yet cults still exist. I don't think that's something that's going to go away in a long time. I think it definitely brings up a discussion of things that we need to do to stop stuff like this. Because for the most part, cults are... I'm having trouble finding my words today.
There's something about cult. It's people have to find a place they belong. And they find a place in a cult, which honestly makes me really sad. Because there are so many better places for you to belong. And it's like they find their purpose in the worst place. And it's just because they're more or less brainwashed to believe it.
And there's a lot of cults that are more harmless than others. That's what I was trying to say. And there's a lot of varying levels of cults. Because, honestly, they're not going to get too deep into the discussion, but there's a lot of religious organizations that are cult-like.
It's true.
Those ones, the worst you're going to get if you leave is getting shunned by your family, which sucks, but it's not the end of the world. There is a lot of cults out there that will force you to come back and even sometimes even try to kill you if you leave. There's obviously varying degrees of cults. I don't like cults. I don't talking about them or anything. I just don't like them in general.
I don't think you're the only one. Shall we continue?
Yeah.
Jim was a believer of socialism. No one should be poor. No one should be hungry. No one should go without. He also began to believe that he was God, having lives in his hands and the ability to give people and animals what he believed they needed, adding in some charisma helped too, and you have a recipe for disaster. At this point, Jim was already locking sinners in the barn for their own good and deciding people's fate, and he was still only a child.
Oh, this is going to be fun. This video is already going to be controversial because you just said the S word.
I did. And I put it in quotation marks because the sins, quote unquote, that they would be doing or whatever, it could be anything that he decided was a sin because he believed that he was God.
So like any religion then?
It, literally, yes. And it was just, it drove me nuts. Like, I couldn't even find a good example. It would be like staying out past a certain point. It could be hanging out with somebody he didn't like. Yeah. It could be anything.
Oh, and by the S word, socialism.
Oh, yeah, that one too. Yeah, that one's not a great one, but that's what he believed in. That's what he believed in.
Obviously, the idea of socialism, I'm not going to get into because that's way too political and I don't like political stuff. However, the idea that people should not go out without, people should not starve to death is not really a socialism thing.
It's the way that you would go about it. And we'll see it eventually when I get to the end of the story and how it all started working as to why it didn't really work for obvious reasons. But yeah, for those who, you know what, you'll just see. You'll just see.
But I understand that because I think we should strive for that these days. I don't think anybody should starve to death. Whoever said money doesn't buy happiness, I guarantee you they were rich.
Oh, I agree 100% because no, it doesn't necessarily buy you happiness, but it buys you comfort and comfort is peace.
And it buys stress relief.
Exactly.
99% of my stress comes from money issues. And that's just the way it is. And
if you don't know where your next meal is coming from, you're going to be stressed. If you can put a roof over your head, you're going to be stressed. And where does all that come from? It comes from money.
And honestly, I'm lucky compared to a lot of people. I've got enough for food. I've got enough for housing. It's a struggle, but I got enough. Now, add in if I didn't know where you find food and stuff like that. I get it 100%. That's horrible. And the fact that we're failing all these people as a society, because at the end of the day, we're all humans and we need to take care of each other. That's how humans are. But we got into this point where all of a sudden we don't care about other humans. And it just, to me, it's just ridiculous. Like, I can't believe I'm agreeing with a psychopath, but
hey,
and Jim Jones.
Even an incorrect clock is right twice a day.
And I think that kind of goes with a lot of things. Like, a lot of cults, obviously, you put the C word on it, there, people are going to start dismissing it. But a lot of people, there's good ideas, but there's a lot of bad ideas, and basically is what I'm trying to get at. And yeah, you just got to sift through.
Well, and there are some ideas he had that were good, and there are some that he just went super crazy extreme on. So we'll get there and we'll see exactly what happened.
And that goes with anytime you go extreme on anything, it's going to be a bad thing. We see it all the time now, but you've got to, it's almost like you got to be in this like center. I think that's the least crazy part point.
Probably. Sounds about right. Jim's parents eventually got a divorce. He moved in with his mother and grew up to be an adult, got married, and adopted a black child. Back then, this was extremely uncommon. He was still extremely religious, but was finding that the churches he was going to weren't fitting his beliefs. Specifically, they weren't allowing black members. So he decided to start his own church in 1954, the People's Temple of the Disciples of Christ, more commonly shortened to just the People's Temple. He focused a lot on racial inequality, which of course drew in a lot of progressive members. As it grew, Jim and his wife decided to move to Ukiah, California to better suit the church's needs.
Okay, I am about to piss a lot of people off. That is my biggest problem with the religion right there. If the church that you go to doesn't fit your beliefs, then you either go to another church that does, or you start your own. That's the biggest part, is it's not about following the word of God or whatever. It's about finding a church that fits your beliefs. And that's the problem right there. And that kind of just proves my point, because he didn't come find a church that fit his views. Now, I will say, surprisingly, and at that time, some of his views weren't that bad.
No, a lot of his congregation were black people, which was, I think, really cool, at least back then. Because I think he started out at least somewhat with decent intentions. Somewhat. I'm not saying entirely, because we all know, especially as a child, he was pretty messed up. Okay? He was. But I do think that, at least somewhat, he did have some good ideas. The whole racism thing, that needed to change 110%. And I think that he was doing some good things. unfortunately. I don't think he was necessarily doing it the right way.
Yeah. It says a lot when a cult does it better than most churches.
I have to agree with you on that.
But here's my thing. I'm so like, do you know how many religions there are in the world?
There's so many that I would not even want to hazard a guess.
At one point, I actually looked it up, and there is more than you could even friggin' list. There are so many. Now, if you boil it down to like the main ones, it's a lot less, but still.
Like subcategories within the main categories. Yeah. And then you've got the people that have like their own unique individualized religions. And yeah, there's got to be thousands, the very least.
Yeah.
That's plenty.
And that's my whole problem is like, why would you need that many different denominations? I don't get it. I don't understand. Like, this guy was all bad, but he's not all bad. Obviously, he has a lot of crazy ideas, but he also has a lot of good ideas. And sometimes you got to sift through that to get to the good idea.
I agree, because you can tell, I don't think every single one of his ideas were bad. They weren't. Like, the first thing he did was radically start to try to get churches around the entire country to get all members to accept all races. And that's something that's great. That's not bad at all. That's phenomenal. I think that's a great change that he started to make.
Yeah, 100%. It is great. And I think if you want to make really good religion, you take all these smaller ones, you get rid of all the radical and basically crappy, hurtful, evil, whatever you want to call it, all the bad ideas or the extreme ideas, and leave the good, you're going to have basically the perfect religion at that point, because we're only human. We base stuff on our beliefs for the most part. And people who start these churches and denominations are starting them because they want their own beliefs taught. They want their own beliefs heard. And that's all it is. That's it. If you want a perfect religion, just get rid of all the crazy.
So simple. Why didn't we think of that?
Because unfortunately, most people use the churches to basically justify their horrible beliefs anyways.
Around the 1970s, Jim's preachings started to change, and he began preaching against Christianity. The church was low on funds, and he started convincing his members to sell their homes and give their paychecks to him to continue to fund their paths. Members only followed him harder. They truly believed that Jim had the answers, that he had the key to how they should live, and how they continued staying with him, even when he decided to test them. Jim passed out a Kool-Aid-like beverage to all of his church and instructed them to drink it. Then he told them it was poison. Some drank it anyway. Some absolutely panicked. But Jim reassured them that it was because he was being watched and he would rather all of them die than be taken. And it was just a test. And it wasn't actually poisoned. And he was right. They weren't actually poisoned that time.
I don't think this is the kind of advertising Kool-Aid wanted.
Like I said, it was a Kool-Aid-like beverage.
Yeah, but I think Kool-Aid became synonymous with that.
They did. Poor Kool-Aid, though. Technically, it was actually like Flavor-Aid, I think is what it was. But yeah, poor Kool-Aid. They really got a crap deal out of this. Obviously, he started to lose his mind a little bit. Yeah. You could tell he was starting to test his people, whether they had faith in him or not.
Yeah, if I remember right, I believe the ones that didn't drink the Kool-Aid were basically kicked out.
The ones that didn't, yeah. I don't think he kept them around.
But isn't this right before he moved to, wasn't it South America or somewhere?
Yes. Yeah, this is right before he had a bit of a mental break.
Obviously, this brings up a very important point. Never drink Kool-Aid.
Sorry, Kool-Aid.
That's the moral of the story.
It wasn't long after this test that Jim started to lose his mind a little bit. He was convinced that people were after him, and he began taking drugs, telling people it was for his kidneys. But then after, he chose the ultimate test for his followers' faith and moved them to Guyana and named it Jonestown. At the same time, Jim had lost a lot of followers. Many of his followers had seen the change in him and left, but the government was watching him. They started with around 90 members, but close to 500 people moved to Guyana to start their new lives. It was exactly what Jim wanted. Everyone worked for Jim. They had everything they needed in their community, a medical center, shops, restaurants, homes, but everything was not as it should have been.
Yeah, obviously this is part that I remember. This is not too long before they take the mass exodus.
We're getting closer to that, yes. at this point, the people there were starting to realize that this wasn't the haven that they had anticipated. Because, yeah, everything that they supposedly needed was there. They had everything. But Jim was, like, working them to the bone because they all had to work in these places to support it. And they were, like, working themselves to the bone to make it work. And it just wasn't what they thought that they were going to get themselves into for the most part, which pretty much is going to be with any cult that you're going to expect. And the only person who was really reaping the benefits of that was Jim.
It always seems to be that way, where the only ones who actually prosper in these kind of things are the leader. This is the turning point when he starts really going crazy. And again, take out all the crazy. Some of his ideas were actually good ideas. He just way took it to the extreme.
Jim was brutal to these people. If they weren't doing what he wanted, when he wanted, he would punish them. He would hit them, beat them, publicly punish them for the smallest of infractions. At one point, Jim was caught sexually assaulting a woman and told everyone it was for her own good. This seemed to be one of the last straws for all of the people, and they wanted to leave, but they couldn't get out. The U.S. sent a California congressman to check on the situation, as many families were sure something was going horribly wrong. And when he arrived, Jim convinced everyone to act happy. But instead, they acted happy, but slipped the congressman notes asking him for help to get out. When the congressman and his team were leaving, people of the People's Temple shot them, killing the congressman, 3 journalists, and 9 others.
This is the one thing that did not make sense to me at all. Why would you send a congressman?
It didn't make a lot of sense to me either. And I also don't really understand. I don't know if he just may have been curious himself and took it upon himself to go, because none of it really made a lot of sense to me either. He was from California, so that's originally where they were from. So I wonder if he was just like, we take a little responsibility because he was from California. So, I don't know. It still doesn't make a lot of sense because they're in South America. There's not, what are you going to do?
And see, here's the problem. Like, I'd say, obviously, he made a lot of mistakes, but that is the biggest mistake Jim Jones made. Because now, let's just say this congressman went back to the United States, told the government. Government wouldn't have done anything at that point.
I don't know if there's anything they really could have done.
Not technically, legally. And not without getting a lot of convincing of the South American government. Once you killed a congressman, they basically had everything they needed to convince the South American government to allow them to raid the place.
I'm not even sure it was along those lines. So, yeah, that night, like they stayed that night, the congressman did. It was the next morning when they were leaving. And as far as we're all aware, it actually was not Jim's plan to kill these guys. It was actually just, I don't know if people panicked and they saw them leaving and thought they're leaving without us. I have no idea. It was just random guards. I can't figure it out. I've looked at different sources. As far as I can tell, it was not actually his plan.
Yeah, I know necessarily wasn't his plan.
But I think they probably were either going to raid it or figure something out from there. Because especially after that, sure, they were probably going to go down there and figure something out.
Yeah, and that's what his motivation was, is that he knew at some point they were going to be coming.
At this point, Jim panicked. People were trying to leave, and he knew he would be in huge trouble for killing the congressmen, the journalists, and the others. So Jim made cyanide-laced Flavor-Aid and gave it to all of his followers, including the children and the infants. In fact, he started with the children and the infants, killing all of them. And then Jim shot himself. There were some survivors who managed to flee into the jungle, believed to be about 5 people. But the real question is, what makes a person do something like this? Now, specifically, my question wasn't necessarily the killing, because obviously he panicked. He very much panicked. But just the cult in general, is this a nature versus nurture question? Because obviously the kid's been screwed up for a hot minute. But was he born that way? Exactly where did it come from? Because obviously I'm not born that way. You're not born that way. Or was it the way that we were raised? It's just an interesting question.
They're just really good at manipulating people. And it's fascinating because obviously it takes a certain type of person to be able to be manipulated.
It's just mind-boggling to think about because I don't know of a single person, not one single one, that I'd just be like, yes, I will follow you for it. Not one. I can't think of a celebrity. I can't think of anybody that I know on a personal level that I would follow that way. And if you think about it, like, obviously over 900 people felt so strongly about this man that they followed him to death.
Something's got to be said about the fact that this guy willingly convinced these people to kill themselves, because that goes against human nature, human biology. We've got a will to live, basically. That's a strong force.
Yeah, it is. The Jonestown Massacre, looking back, was most likely avoidable. We now know things to look out for, but the biggest takeaway? Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Thank you for joining us on this journey through all things mysterious. Your engagement is what makes this so rewarding. If you've enjoyed uncovering these mysteries with us, please show your support by liking, subscribing, and following us on your favorite listening platform. For more intriguing content and ways to stay connected, don't forget to check us out on our links in the description below. Your involvement is the key to unlocking more thrilling mysteries.
As always, we keep you guessing.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion. Or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Families agents. Life's better when you're under American Families roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.